Hello, hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing okay. I hope everyone can hear me. Let's turn our scriptures to Psalm 59. Let's read Psalm 59. For the choir director, set to Al-Tashketh, a miktam of David, when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. Says, deliver me from my enemies, O my God, and set me securely on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity, and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life, fierce men launch an attack against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. For no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see. You, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. Selah. They return at evening, they howl like a dog, and they go around the city. Behold, they belch forth with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all the nations. Because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. Do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. On account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride, and on account of curses and lies which they utter. Destroy them in wrath, destroy them that they may be no more, that men may know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. They return at evening, they howl like a dog and go around the city. They wander about for food and growl if they are not satisfied. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. Oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you. For God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. Amen. Amen. Wow. Okay. Psalm 59 comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 19, from verse 11 and 12. And if you remember this story, this is when basically Saul goes out to kill David and surrounds his house. He sends messengers all around, and as a result, David's wife, Michal, begin to tell him that, man, you need to leave right now, because if you stay, you're gonna die, basically. And so, if you know the story, Michal let David down through a window, and then he fled and escaped. And this basically started roughly around at least 10 years of hiding, and David starts his life as a fugitive from this point on. And Saul very clearly, now we know that he's got bad intentions for David during this time. And so Saul's plot has been revealed. And so David, obviously, what he'll do is he'll write a psalm, and he'll write about, you know, what he's thinking, what he's going through. And so we'll look at that. He starts off by saying, deliver me from my enemies, O my God, set me securely on high from those who rise up against me. And it seems very interesting that the man after God's own heart had so many enemies. It doesn't seem like that should be the way. A godly person, a godly man, a godly woman, should not have these many enemies. It like in our natural mind, it just doesn't make sense. There should be this idea that if we're godly and we're holy and we're following God, that only peace and tranquility and favor and all these things would accompany our lives. But we see in David that that's not the case. And so, I mean, did David screw up? I mean, what is going on? Because obviously, when we see a strife, and naturally in our mind, we would think that, oh, you must have done something, kind of think of Job and his friends, right? This is the mentality, not only of that day, but it's also mentality of today. When we go to difficulty, you'll have friends and you'll have people come around and say, oh, you must have done something. You know, maybe you should repent. You know, maybe you should do some inner healing. You know, maybe you should do, you know, X, Y, Z to, because you did something or you allowed something into your life. And so like in David's thing, it just doesn't make any sense. And so, but then it does make sense if you think about it, because this is, you know, David, do you remember the son of David, you know, Jesus? How many enemies did Jesus have? Yeah, he had a lot. And now you can understand, oh, okay, maybe there's something about the cost of righteousness. You know, Paul will say that those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. And, you know, the early church fathers, they really recognize this. You know, I always tell the story of John Wesley. You know, Wesley for many weeks, and he was not being opposed at all. And so then he started asking, is there something wrong with me? And he started looking at his life and just doing a sin inventory. And then at the end, he realized that there was nothing wrong, that he had not sinned before the Lord. And so he asked, well, why is there no persecution? Apparently, the story says at that moment, someone threw a brick, a rock at his head, knocked him out. I mean, he fell off his horse, knocked him out. And apparently, the story goes, when he woke up, the first words that he said was, thank you, Lord. You know, John Wesley recognized that persecution was just a part of being righteous. And I think many times that we can kind of get into this mode too, like, oh, bad things are happening to you. There must be something wrong with you. You know, you have so many enemies. David had so many enemies. David, you must be doing something wrong. I mean, there must be a hidden sin or a moral failure or something that people don't see. But that's not the case. And we can read this through the Psalm, and we could read through his life. I mean, clearly Saul was after David unrighteously. And then we could really understand. And if you are going through any persecution, if you're going to any of these things, man, guess what? You're identifying yourself with Christ. Paul says later on in his letter, he says that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. And then you're just entering into this beautiful fellowship with our Savior. Okay, so that was the intro. Let's continue on. And so David cried out, oh my God. And it was such a deep personal meaning for David. And actually, throughout this psalm, he'll relay these kinds of thoughts. And he declared his really close connection with the Lord. He says in verse 1, he says, it's my God. He says in verse 9 and in verse 17, you know, my stronghold. He says in verse 10 and 17, he's the God of mercy. And in 9 and 17, that he is my strength. It's all very personal. You know, he's my God. He's my stronghold. He's my God of mercy. You know, the God that shows loving kindness. He's my strength. And there's all these different words, and we'll get into some more of them little on, but it really shows the personal close relationship that he has with God. And I hope that especially when we come into these type of moments, I think that's something that happens. All of a sudden, God doesn't become just an idea. God is personal. He comes and he meets with us. When we're going through difficulty, he comes down from his holy mountain and he ministers to us. It becomes so real and applicable. And that's how he is. And then he continues on and he says, deliver me in verse 2. The way the word is structured, it's the idea is lift up. He's kind of like, it says, deliver me, lift me up in a safe place. Just think of like a high tower or something to that effect. And he'll continue to repeat this phrase a few more times during this time. And it says, behold, they have set an ambush. Fierce men launch an attack against me. They have set an ambush for my life. And so this is the same idea. And what happens is that assassins basically come and they gather around David's home. And I think they're looking to surprise him kind of in his daily activities. And so he saw them gather around. And so he's basically saying, Lord, look at these guys, you know, they're trying to ambush me. But he says something interesting. He says, at the end of verse 3, he says, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord, for no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. And David, he wasn't making a claim to that he was, you know, sinless. That's not where he's coming from. And he's just really, you know, set out here and basically saying that there is no justified reason that they are coming against him. There's no justified reason for Saul to send assassins to him. David says, I'm not perfect, okay? You know, I've got my own issues. You know, I've done things that I'm not proud of. Yeah, for sure, that's where I'm at. But I don't deserve that these men come and kill me, and which is true, right? I mean, like, who deserves that? And so he's saying, like, yeah, they're coming against me not because of my sin. In other words, I don't deserve the enmity and the anger and all the opposition that's coming against, you know, I'm not perfect, but I don't deserve this. And so he's making this appeal to God. And of course, God would know and understand that. And so then he calls upon the Lord. He says in verse 5, and thou, O Lord, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. And David begins to use different names and words of God. He first calls out Jehovah, you know, Yahweh. This is the covenant God. This is by the word Lord. And then he's Elohim Sava. He's the commander of the heavenly armies. He's the general that commands the angels. That's the word he uses, Elohim Sava. And then he says that he was Elohai, the God of his chosen people, the God of Israel. So he's using different names, and he's appealing to this, and seemingly it's that each of these names suggests something about God, something about God's character, or something about God's power that really brings hope to the individual. And so when he's calling out these names, he's just inspiring hope in himself. And when we do this, right, Lord, you're the God of love. You're the protector of the orphans. And when we're going through different things, we'll call upon different aspects of God and God's character. And as a result, we will be encouraged and lifted up. And so he's doing all these things. But then his tone changes. So he goes from, Lord, protect me. And he says, Lord, now avenge the nations. Punish them in this way. And you can see kind of David as he's going through the psalm and he's writing this, he's thinking about himself. It becomes a local issue, and then it turns into a global issue for him. And he wants the Lord to set things right, not only on a personal scale, but on a global scale in this way. And he looked to the angelic armies. He's the Lord of hosts, Elohim Savah, and he's coming to, and through them, they're going to judge the nations and all the wickedness and the people that begin to act in wickedness. And then he returns now to these men, and he says, and they return at evening. So they're kind of watching him through the day, hoping to ambush him, but he would not go outside, obviously. And so now they come back at night, and he says, they howl like a dog. They go around the city. He'll repeat this phrase a few times. It's the word howl could probably, obviously, the picture is like a dog. So he's howling, he's salivating. That's the word belching, which kind of means more foaming. of the mouth, and we see these things happening, but the howl could be maybe translated or expressed as murmuring. Think of the Israelites murmuring in the desert for the 40 years. And so that's what these guys are kind of, and apparently their words are spreading. They're starting to brag about what they're going to do to David and what they could, what they're going to do to David and what benefit they're going to get from Saul if they end David's life. And so, you know, they may be talking to themselves in this way, whatever it may be, but we see this happening. And he says, you know, the swords are in their lips, for they say, who hears? In other words, they're bold. You know, they're speaking evil with their tongues. And they're like, basically, who can touch us? Our king is backing us up, King Saul. And so we are above reproach in that way. But now the tables are turned. And he says, you, O Lord, you laugh at them. You scoff at all the nations. And David's danger was, you know, with these assassins were real. But it didn't, I mean, when God was involved, it's kind of like, it's not a big deal. You know, that they're nothing compared to God. You know, reminds of Paul when he writes, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And it's this, this trust and this really laying down in our own hearts of these things. And that's where they get to this place. And so that there's, but God would be, it says, and for God is my stronghold, my God in his loving kindness will meet me. And it's the stronghold, you know, think of this fortress. And that's who he is. He's like a strong, high fortress. You know, the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and they are safe, or they are saved. And so we see that that's what he does. And then he says something interesting. He says, my God in his loving kindness will meet me. And this meeting is not a figurative, it's almost translated as the word meaning in front, like God is in front of me. He's like right here. And so because of his loving kindness, this, you know, the chesed, that he will be right in front of him. And we see this, again, this closeness that begins to happen in their life. And then he says he renders this kind of punishment in this way. And he says, do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by their power and bring them down. And David, you know, didn't just want these enemies to be defeated. He wanted the enemies to be defeated in such a way that the people won't forget. The people will begin to recognize, oh, God is with David. It was such a resounding a defeat that, you know, we know the history that actually what happens. And he says, for the sin, scatter them, O Lord Mashiach, on account of the sin of their mouths. And he says, Lord, you see what they're saying, you know, the proud words that they're uttering during this place. And you know, judge him for this. In fact, let them be even caught in their own pride on account of the curses and lies which they utter, and all these different things that are going on around them. You know, David seems to be especially offended at the words that they're speaking, especially around his home. Can you imagine? These guys are surrounding his home and speaking these lies and treachery. And he says, you know, that they're boasting about their own advancement through this. And David says, Lord, you listen to them, you know, slay them in this way. This is the destroy them in wrath, destroy them, then there may be no more. And I mean, it's just really interesting, the emotions that David carries through this. You know, let them know, God, this is, let them know that you rule. That men may know that God rules in Jacob and to the ends of the earth. And they returned at evening. They howl like a dog. Goes back to what he talked about before. But here's the turnaround. And this is verse 16, and I think something that can really speak quite powerfully to us. And he says, but as for me, so contrast, these guys are howling like dogs. They're foaming at the mouth. They're diseased, you know what I mean? They're lies, treachery. So this is what's coming out of their mouth. But for me, this is what's going to happen through David. I will sing of thy strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of thy loving kindness in the morning, for thou hast been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to thee, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. And look at this. And so he's not just repeating singing three times. He's saying that I'm going to sing, you know, I'm going to just, you know, offer up my melody. I'm also going to shout, verse 16. I shall joyfully sing, which basically means shout. I'm going to shout before the Lord. And then in verse 17, I will sing praises. You know, I will raise a psalm in this way. So there's three different kinds of one's just singing, one's, you know, writing a song, and one's shouting. And so he's going to do all these things during this time. So these guys, you know, blasphemies are coming out of their mouth. They're howling like a dog. They're foaming at the mouth. Their lies, treachery, all these things are coming out of their mouth. But David says, but for me, out of my mouth will come worship, will come praise, will come the words of the beauty of God in this way. And it's such a beautiful kind of picture that lays out here. And, you know, if you think about it, interesting thing enough, like I said in the beginning, this will start about 10 to 15 years of him running and hiding. This will start his fugitive years where he'll flee to the land of the Philistines. He'll be in a cave of Adullam. I mean, he'll be moving all over and running for his life during this time as Saul just, you know, keeps coming after him. And, you know, he had a few times where he could have ended Saul's life, but he didn't. And so, but during his fugitive years, but notice this, he starts this season of his life in praise. And we know at the end, we know this happens in 2 Samuel 1, when the end of Saul is announced. Guess what? He ends the season in praise. And so David was faithful during this time. He starts this season in praise, and he ends this season in praise. Brothers and sisters, may we have the similar resolve that when we encounter difficult times, and listen, if there's any moment worthy of praise, it's this moment right now in Hong Kong, around the world. And I mentioned on Sunday, you know, speaking of Ukraine, and some of you may have seen the videos, and I mean, you could watch the videos of the bombing, you know, I mean, those are quite laid out there, you know, or you can watch the videos of the Ukrainian Christians gathering together in different areas, in public squares, you know, in subway stations, singing to the Lord. And, you know, when I see that, I just get a sense that God's going to do something here with Ukraine. And I mean, such a beautiful picture that in the midst of difficulty, they sing songs to the Lord. And it reminds me of this. It was this more of my wife's church, you know, years ago in Tajikistan, they were bombed. And we sent and it was this crazy situation. You know, the hardline Muslims came and bombed the church, and you know, quite a few people died, and a lot of people were injured, and the hospitals would not take them in. And so our church, we sent the medical team right away, and they went and took care of those people. And you know, some of them came back afterwards, and a lot of because some of the wall and the glass, when the building had gone off, it was like half the building, all the glass shards begin to, you know, come, and they were dislodging all these people's hairs. And you got all these beautiful women, and they all had to shave their head because of the glass they had to remove. And the next Sunday, they were back in church. You know, I mean, you can imagine no wall, and they're all in church. They're all, you know, on the floor, and they, you know, the ladies had the headscarves just cover their head. from the wounds. And it says they were there and, you know, lifting up their hands and singing beautiful songs about how they're trusting God and how you know, God is their strength. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the best time to praise, and it seems like this is times we don't want to do this, you know, the best time for praise is when life gets difficult. You see, David, I mean, he's got assassins surrounding his house. And he says, but as for me, I shall sing praise. I shall sing of thy strength. I'm not singing about my deliverance. I'm singing, Lord, about who you are. And you're my strength. You're the only one that's going to get me through this time. And so appropriately, we're going to come before the Lord right now and we're going to sing. And so let's just give our heart to the Lord in this way. Let's seek God and let's give him our hearts. And especially in the difficult season that we find our city in, that many parts of the world are in. Let's just say this. Let's ask for me, I'm going to sing praises to the Lord. Let's do that.
My strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I see, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all. Sing that again, you are my strength. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. God, worthy
Let's make that resolve for ourselves as well. Huh? Let's resolve in our own heart. Lord, I know all the world is going nuts right now, God. But Lord, but for me, as for me, Lord, I come before you, God, and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to make it a point to give you worship and to give you praise. Let's just begin to just make that resolve deep within us that our strength and our source is going to come from him. And I know this, you know, when I've gone through difficult times and when I feel pressed on all so many situations, really the only thing I can do is go before the Lord and worship him. The only thing I can do is, and just let the music and the praise just begin to fill my room. And to be honest, it's the only thing that gives me encouragement. And I think you're going to find that out in your own life as well. But let's make a decision today. Let's make a resolve that, Lord, as for me, I'm going to sing praises no matter what. Can we do that? Let's pray before we get into our corporate prayer. Let's go to our corporate prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. For illnesses, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing and the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer illness. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's also pray for those that have COVID and that are, pray for healing. But also let's pray for our frontline workers. Pray that they would administer love and grace. And even though, you know, they're masked up, that their patients can see God's love and concern through their eyes and through their faces. And let's pray. We know. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and for God's provision. Let's pray for our city. Let's ask God's hand. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray that the government will put together a very, very sound strategy for the rest of this year as it pertains to COVID, that it wouldn't just be kind of a shotgun approach. They would just really sit down and have a very strong, sound strategy to really lead our group and give our people here confidence in what they're doing. And let's just continue to cover. Let's pray just against the wealth gap, and let's cry for revival. The people, there's so much fear going around. Let's pray that the Lord really meet with people. Let's lift up the churches, that the power of the gospel be preached. Pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, God Catering, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Let's really lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff, and I know most of them are working from home. A few of us are still coming to the office, but most are at home. Let's pray for diligence. Let's pray that they would really seek God's face and reach out to the community. Let's just ask the Lord's strength and protection for each one of them. Particularly pray for Rachel. Their family is potentially struggling with illness right now. It could be COVID related, so just cover especially. This morning, instead of since hospitality is not really happening right now, can we just instead let's pray for Alpha that they started last week. Let's just really ask God's hand to be upon our volunteers, upon our leaders, and that God would really use them during this time. And pray for the ones that are coming out. Let's pray that they would really meet Jesus, or if they know Jesus, have a deeper love for Christ. And so, sorry for switching last minute, but instead of hospitality, let's just lift up Alpha right now. Let's pray for our worship, our sound and AV teams, especially as our team is a lot smaller now. Let's just pray for health, first of all, for our members. As some of you may know, we've divided our staff into two different teams for Sunday, just so we can be a little safer and make sure that service is still running. And so let's just ask the Lord to really begin to move upon us. And so it's P-Nate and Pastor Andrew on one team, and then the AV would be P-Ken on one team, and then Donald and Caleb on the other. So let's just cover them right now. Ask God to really use them. Let's lift up our ladies that are pregnant during this time. Let's pray for protection. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them, especially in the midst of Omicron and all this going on. Let's just pray for divine protection and grace and covering over them. Let's just cover House Church meeting tonight. Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K House, Opie Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for the hand of God to be upon all the leaders and the community that gathers together online. And let's pray, even though it's through technology, that there will still be a closeness and a unity and a bond that God really begins to bring, and that God will really challenge our hearts through the discussions. So let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for David's example, Lord. And God, he just sought to praise you, Lord, in the midst of so much craziness going around him, Father God. And so, Lord, we as well, God, we also want to draw near to you, God. We also want to resolve, God, that we're going to worship you. You are a God. You are a stronghold. You're the refuge. You're the strong tower, God. The righteous will run to you, God, and they'll be safe. And so we ask you to move, God. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Russia and in the Ukraine, God. I pray that you just encourage them right now. Let the praise just really be offered up and the prayers be offered up on their behalf, God. And also as we cover our city right now, Lord, we thank you, God. Help us to give you our best today, God. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You'll notice on the chat, I sent an article, and you know, when I woke up this morning, I just thought it was interesting that this article talked about praise and the situation in Ukraine. So hopefully, you can get a click on it and get it. And if you're clicking on it, and nothing comes out, then just WhatsApp me and I'll send it to you. But really, there's about three or four really powerful articles on Christianity Today about Ukraine and about the prayers and what the church is doing there. And so I think we're really, really encouraging you during this time. Okay. Have a great rest of your prayer time, and we will see you tomorrow. We start Lent tomorrow, so let's prepare our hearts. God bless.